This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines: a bomb explosion in a mosque in the Afghan city of Herat kills at least 18 people and injures nearly 2,000 others. More Israeli atrocities: regime forces kill a Palestinian man in the occupied West Bank. And Russia accuses Ukraine of nuclear terrorism, saying that Kiev's shelling of Zaporizhia atomic power plant risks a catastrophe in Europe. Hello and welcome, everybody. Our top story for this half hour: the death toll from an explosion in Afghanistan's western city of Herat rises to 18. Police say a high-profile pro-Taliban cleric was among those killed. Over 20 others were wounded. The blast rocked a mosque during Friday prayers. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack, but the Daesh terrorist group has carried out similar bombings in the past. The ruling Taliban have vowed to bring to justice those behind the attack. Iran has condemned the deadly bombing. Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani says the Islamic Republic stands by the Afghan people in the fight against extremism, violence, and terrorism. Well, joining us now by satellite from the Afghan capital, Kabul, is our correspondent, Abdullah Mirzad. Abdullah, please bring us up to speed on the recent details from this deadly blast that took place in Herat.
Well, as you know, today there was an attack, a suicide attack on Maulavi Mujib Ansari in Guzargah Mosque of Herat. The suicider somehow managed to get so close to Mujibullah Ansari and then detonated his explosives. He killed Maulavi Ansari and 17 other people along with Maulavi Ansari. Among the people who were killed, there is brother of Mujibullah Ansari also. 23 people were injured, and the number of injuries were so high, they were transferred to the hospitals, and the Central Blood Bank of Herat also called upon people to donate blood. Many people were gathered outside the hospitals to donate their bloods. Before this attack, there was a meeting between Mujibullah Ansari and Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar. But before the attack, they were separated, so Maulavi Abdul Ghani Baradar is safe and sound, but Mullah Mujib Ansari was killed. ISIS has claimed this attack, and they say that this was done by their group, and there were some reactions after that. As you mentioned, the Islamic Republic of Iran condemned this attack, and Zabihullah Mujahid, the spokesman of the IEA, also tweeted that the perpetrators of such attacks, and this attack especially, will be caught soon and they will be punished properly. But aside those, this is the third attack which is being actually performed on clergymen who are supporter of Taliban in the last 30 days. Maulavi Mujib Ansari was the most well-known between them. The other ones were Rahimullah Haqqani, who lost his life with 10 of his students in a mosque, and Amir Muhammad Kabuli, who lost his life along 21 other worshippers in a mosque. These explosions have all happened in mosques up to now, all the three, and all the people, actually the clergymen who have lost their lives, were supporter of Taliban and were very renowned and had space between people even before the Taliban taking power. During the Republic era, they were known and they were popular. Up to now, this is the information that we have. The number of those who have lost their lives might rise, but we hope not. There is no more information on this matter.
All right, thanks a lot. Abdullah Amirzadeh, our correspondent, joining us from the Afghan capital, Kabul. Moving on, Iran once again stresses it's ready for a good, strong, and lasting agreement in the talks to revive the 2015 deal known as the JCPOA. Iran's foreign minister made the comment at a phone call with his Omani counterpart, Saeed Bad al-Busaidi. Hussein Amir Abdullahian also touched upon Iran's latest indirect correspondence with the U.S. over an EU proposal to restore the JCPOA. He said Iran prepared its response with a view to accelerate and facilitate the finalization of the talks. Earlier, the Iranian Foreign Ministry said an expert team carefully reviewed and submitted its views to the EU coordinator. The ministry described Iran's text as constructive. The U.S., however, says Iran's response was not constructive. The JCPOA was thrown into chaos in 2018 when the U.S. pulled out of it and imposed anti-Iran sanctions. Researcher and political analyst Christopher Halali tells us about his views on the possibility of the JCPOA revival deal.
We are close, but I remain cautiously, optimistic at this point. What reports we are getting out from various leaks, both in the press on both sides, include that we are close to a deal, that something is close. I'm very concerned, of course, what Israel is doing behind the scenes, what some of the other countries that are antagonistic to Iran are doing behind the scenes, and also within Washington, establishment and the politicians who are much more hawkish on Iran. I believe that they're going to do everything they can now to derail a possible, resumption of a deal with the Islamic Republic of Iran. Ultimately, Biden is in an election year, and so I think that he's trying to push for a deal, but he's politically unstable, and his ability to get reelected or for his party to get, to maintain control of the House and Senate isn't secure. So I remain cautious about this news that's coming out that a deal is imminent, mm-hmm. And it's my hope that it happens. But of course, I also know that Iran has red lines and it doesn't want to be crossed. And hopefully the Americans can come to their senses.
On this segment of the News Review program, more deadly Israeli violence against Palestinians. Regime forces gunned down a man in the occupied West Bank city of Al-Khalil. The Israeli military claims he was killed following a stabbing attack. No more details have been provided about the attack. The Israeli military has recently stepped up deadly raids in the occupied West Bank, launching fierce assaults on the local population. In one such raid on Thursday, Israeli forces killed two Palestinian men. According to a Palestinian rights group, the Israeli regime has killed 112 people in the occupied West Bank and the besieged Gaza Strip since the beginning of 2022. Joining us on this edition of the News Review, we have our correspondent, Mona Kandil, who's joining us from Ramallah. Also, we have writer and political analyst, Saeed Shahabi, who's joining us from the British capital, London. Welcome to the program, to the both of you. Let's start off with Mona, and please give us an update on the recent Israeli violence and aggression in the occupied West Bank.
Palestinian Ministry of Health revealed that they were informed that a Palestinian man was shot dead at the junction of Beit Aynun, northeast Al-Khalil, also known as Hebron, this afternoon, and that the body of this Palestinian man, whose identity is still unknown, was grabbed by the Israeli soldiers. The Israeli forces had said earlier that a Palestinian man arrived near this junction that is close to the illegal settlement of Kiryat Arba, and he had a knife and he stabbed an Israeli settler. He wounded him. An Israeli soldier opened fire and shot him. Then he succumbed to his injuries. Later, the Israeli military said that the one who was wounded was an Israeli soldier who was standing with a number of Israeli soldiers stationing there at the entrance to the illegal settlement of Kiryat Arba, and of course at the junction of the Palestinian village of Beit Aynon. Israeli Prime Minister blessed this this move or this action by the Israeli forces and said that the Israeli soldiers would continue to act quickly in order to make sure that none of the Israeli forces would be attacked or the Israeli settlers, and that the soldiers would continue to deploy everywhere in the occupied West Bank.
And Mr. Shahabi, we've seen an increase of Israeli violence against Palestinians for a few months now. If you can, share with us your views on the motives behind this recent increase of violence being carried out by the Israeli regime.
Thank you very much. Of course, it is a sad news that another Palestinian has been killed illegally and illegitimately. You cannot just keep killing people every day. There is hardly any day that passes without a Palestinian victim being killed by the Israelis. So what sort of an occupation force is this? What sort of modern statehood in Palestine that keeps killing people almost on daily basis? Isn't it the case for the international community to take action, to make a stand, to stop them? I haven't heard any accusation or any condemnation from any Western government to the Israeli government, which keeps killing people at will every day. And of course, they will always say that this Palestinian with an arm, with a knife, or possibly with a gun, has attacked an Israeli soldier. The question is first, why isn't and why haven't there been any independent and neutral investigation into these killings? Secondly, why are these Israeli soldiers standing everywhere near the Palestinian land? And thirdly, why are these settlers who are taking the Palestinian homes, why aren't they tamed? Why are they also allowed to carry guns and attack Palestinians at will, at any time, anywhere? So there are many questions that must be put to the government of the United States, the UK, the EU, the Security Council. Why aren't they asking Israel to stop this killing? And there hasn't been a single real and neutral investigation into the killing of these people. Women, or elderly women, pregnant women, girls, children, underage. Since the beginning of the year, more than 112 people, Palestinians mainly, were killed by the Israelis. Isn't that a crime? Why is this world silent about these crimes that constitute war crimes? Because extrajudicial killings are war crimes, are crimes against the humanity. Why haven't we heard any condemnation, any stand, whether by the United Nations or the West in general?
Well, staying with you, Mr. Shahabi, on that note, where you mentioned a lack of accountability for the Israelis and a lack of action on behalf of the international community, much of this happens due to the unequivocal support that the Israelis receive from the United States. If that's the case, then how can the status quo ever change?
Well, I think it is time that several steps are taken. Number one, we expect our leaders in the Arab world to make a stand, to say something, to take a pro-Palestinian stand. This is number one. And of course, this means, number two, that they should put pressure on America, on the EU, to take steps to penalize Israel for what they do to the Palestinians. Number three, we hope, as we have always wished, that none of these puppet regimes would go and normalize relations with Israel, like what happened in recent months by the United Arab Emirates, by Bahrain regime, because the people of Bahrain, the people of the Arab world, do not want to have normal relations with Israel as long as they keep killing Palestinians at will. And number four, if the Arab states, if the OIC, the Islamic Cooperation Organization, if they take serious stance on the case of Palestine, then they would make an impact on the international scene. They can put pressure on America. They can make it condition on for any relations, any positive and normal and practical relations with the West, dependent on the Western attitude and stance with regards to Palestine. If they do that, I think no Israeli government would really allow or would afford to continue to kill Palestinians as they have been doing.
All right, thanks a lot. Press TV's Mona Kandil joining us from Ramallah, and also thanks to Mr. Saeed Shabi joining us from the British capital, London. Welcome back. It's day two of the International Atomic Energy Agency inspection of Ukraine's Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, which has become the latest flashpoint in the war with Russia. The IAEA chief says the inspectors will stay on at the facility until at least Monday and provide a neutral and technical assessment. Rafael Grossi also added that the physical integrity of the plant has been clearly violated several times. The Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov says Moscow views the inspectors' visit to Zaporizhzhia as very positive. The IAEA inspectors are surveying operations on assessing potential damage at the plant. Russia and Ukraine blame each other for the repeated shelling of the plant, which has prompted fears of a possible nuclear leak.
Inflicting strikes on the facilities of the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, Kiev creates a real threat of a nuclear catastrophe in Europe. According to international law, this is nothing but nuclear terrorism.
The Russian defense minister also accused the U.S. and European Union of encouraging reckless actions around the nuclear plant by providing Ukraine with weapons. The Kremlin has previously called on the international community to put pressure on Kiev to reduce tensions at the plant. Two IAEA officials are set to remain at the plant on a permanent basis following the conclusion of this week's mission. That's according to the Russian envoy to the UN Nuclear Agency. That's a wrap for now, but do stay tuned up.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
Path towards enlightenment.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam and welcome to another episode of our weekly series titled Path Towards Enlightenment, which is an endeavor to make you and us familiar with an easy and fluent explanation of God's final scripture to all mankind, the Noble Quran, that was revealed to the last and greatest of all messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Today, we complete our explanation of Surah Hadid, which is number 57 in the serial order of compilation of the Noble Quran, and mentions the heavy metallic element called hadid or iron as being sent down by God to endow the earth itself with mighty force and provide humanity with the many benefits of its structural strength, as well as all the great tests of faith that arise from this. As we said in our previous episodes, Surah Hadid presents several divine attributes, then proceeds with the grandeur of the Noble Quran, the state of believers and hypocrites on the Day of Resurrection, accounts of the past nations, and spending in the way of Allah for establishment of social justice. It criticizes monasticism and social seclusion, and mentions the response received from the public by the previous prophets. We continue from where we left you a fortnight ago, and here is Ayah 25.
لقد أرسلنا رسلنا بالبينات وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب والميزان ليقوم الناس بالقسط وأنزلنا الحديد فيه بأس شديد وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ وَرُسُلَهُ بِالْغَيْبِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ.
Certainly we sent our prophets with manifest proofs, and we sent down with them the book and the balance, so that mankind may maintain justice. And we sent down iron, in which there is a great might and uses for mankind, and for so that Allah may know those who help him and his prophets in their absence. Indeed, Allah is all strong, almighty. If you remember, in our explanation of the previous ayahs of this surah, in our last episode, we said, if the life of the world is amusements and pleasures of the flesh for the sinners and disbelievers, it is an excellent opportunity for obeying God's commandments and abstaining from forbidden acts and things for the believers who strive for divine mercy and forgiveness. We also said that a faithless person is dejected when misfortune befalls and exults in wild joy when fortune favors him or her, while a true believer is patient in calamities and is thankful to God for whatever is gained. Allah, the All-Merciful, who tests the degrees of faith or the lack of it through both disasters and bounties, averts many a calamity, whether accidental or natural, such as storms, earthquakes, epidemics, and the like, because of earnest prayers and supplications to him. The ayah that we recited to you now means to say that striving toward divine mercy, forgiveness, and paradise requires the leadership of divinely designated leaders, that is, the prophets and imams. All prophets were granted clear evidences of their mission, and God raised prophets in every nation with a book that determines right from wrong, in order to promote the concept of justice among mankind. Thus, the three aspects of divine sovereignty that could be drawn from this ayah are legislative, judicial, and executive, by means of the heavenly scripture, the scale or the balance to maintain justice, and the iron, which indicates power and progress. No revealed book is without a perfect balance. In other words, the relation of the balance to the book is that the scale to the map. The scriptures represent the map of divine knowledge in revealed form, and no map can be of any use without a precise scale or balance in society through the presence of an infallible person. Iron, for its part, stands for strength, power, discipline, and implementation of law and order. It is also one of the sources of industrial development, in addition to wielding political and economic power. Helping God, undoubtedly, reflects support for religion and the prophets through propagation of truth, equity, and justice in society, although the Almighty Creator is not in need of anyone, but all beings are in need of Him. This ayah teaches us that, number one, prophets do not force people to accept the truth and abstain from vices, but they explain to them in the most rational manner the depth of guidance towards paradise and the wicked ways that end up in the fires of hell. Number two, maintenance of justice in society is among the principal goals of the mission of the prophets. Number three, law and order at times require the use of power on the basis of the revealed book and the balance to discern right from wrong in order to discipline the wayward. And number four, iron is the symbol of power and progress of human societies with its many benefits. Now let us listen to ayahs 26 and 27 of the same surah.
وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَجَعَلْنَا فِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِمَا النُّبُوَّةَ وَالْكِتَابَ فَمِنْهُمْ مُهْتَدٍ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ ثم قفينا على آثارهم برسلنا وقفينا بعيسى بن مريم وآتيناه الإنجيل وجعلنا في قلوب الذين اتبعوه رأفة ورحمة ورهبانية ابتدعوها ما كتبناها عليهم إلا ابتغاء رضوان الله فما رعوها حق رعايتها فآتينا الذين آمنوا منهم أجرهم وكثير منهم فاسقون.
And we certainly sent Noah and Abraham, and we ordained among their descendants prophethood and the book. Some of them, the people, are rightly guided, and many of them are transgressors. Then we followed them up with our other prophets, and we followed them with Jesus, son of Mary. And we gave him the evangel, and we put in the hearts of those who followed him kindness and mercy. As for monasticism, they innovated it themselves. We had not prescribed it for them, and commanded them to only seek Allah's pleasure. Yet they did not observe it with due observance. So we gave to the faithful among them their due reward, while many of them are transgressors. These ayahs make it clear that prophets were designated by God Almighty and not elected or selected by mankind. Ayah 26 mentions two of the great prophets, that is Noah and Abraham, among whose descendants other prophets were raised and given the scriptures. But except for a few, many people fail to benefit from guidance and the divine bounties by falling to the temptations of the ever-deceiving Satan. Ayah 27 refers to the mission of Prophet Jesus, the miraculously born son of the Virgin Mary, who was given the evangel, and disciples whose hearts were filled by God with mercy and kindness. The next part of the ayah admonishes those who claim to follow Jesus but indulge in such unnatural practices like monasticism and celibacy, when God did not command such inhuman behavior. And in order to enable them to achieve his satisfaction, he only advised virtue and abstention from vices, which they failed to properly observe. Thus, God Almighty rewarded those who were the true followers of Jesus, while the rest were deprived of divine mercy for their sins and disobedience. From these ayahs, we learn that, number one, The mission of the prophets is to convey divine commandments for the guidance of mankind. Number two, an unbroken chain of prophets exists from the father of the human race, Adam, till the greatest of them, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, while after him are his 12 infallible heirs, the last of whom, Imam Mahdi, peace upon him, is in occultation and will rise in the end times to establish the global government of peace, prosperity, and justice. Number three, Jesus was a human being and not God's son as alleged, which means those who deviate from divine commandments and do not follow the fundamentals of faith are transgressors. And number four, innovation, including celibacy in the name of religion, is against the letter and spirit of the revealed faith and a clear disobedience of God's instructions. In conclusion of this week's episode of Path Towards Enlightenment, which also marks the end of Surah Hadid, here are ayahs 28 and 29.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa aminu bi rasulih yu'tikum kiflayn min rahmatihi wa yaj'al lakum nuran tamshuna bihi wa yaghfir lakum wallahu ghafurur rahim li'alla ya'lama ahlul kitabi alla yaqdiruna ala shay'in min fadlillahi wa anna al-fadla bi yadillahi yu'tihi man yasha' wallahu dhul fadlil 'azim.
Oh, you who have faith, be wary of Allah and have faith in His Prophet. He will grant you a double share of His mercy and give you a light to walk by and forgive you. And Allah is all-forgiving, all-merciful. So that the people of the book may know that they have no power over anything of Allah's grace, and that all grace is in Allah's hand, which He grants to whomever He wishes, and Allah is dispenser of a great grace. Here God tells the believers to firmly believe in His last and greatest prophet, so that they may be given a double share of divine mercy for being steadfast on the path of Islam with faith in the prophets of the past as well. In such a case, their repentance for the misdeeds of the past will be accepted, and they will be granted by the all-forgiving and all-merciful Lord the ability to discern truth from falsehood through the light of faith, which is a reference to the infallible Imam. The last ayah is an admonition to the followers of the earlier revealed scriptures who think of themselves to be believers to know that they have no power over God's grace and bounties, which are granted to the true believers who have faith in all that the Almighty Creator has revealed, culminating in the universal mission of Islam, entrusted to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, who in turn specified his 12 divinely designated successors. These ayahs teach us the following points. Number one, we should firm up our faith through observance of God-wariness. That includes all that the Almighty Creator has commanded. Number two, a believer is liable to commit sins, but if he or she sincerely repents, will be forgiven by God, the All-Merciful. Number three, we should not judge about the fate of others in the hereafter, as God's grace is very vast and is not restricted to our limited knowledge of acts and intentions of God. Well, dear listeners, on that note, we have come to the end of Surah Hadid, and in the next episode, we will take up explanation of the next surah, that is Mujadele. God bless you and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is the minbar you are listening to. May Allah accept your mourning for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Today we invite you to listen to an English lecture by Brother Amin Rastani.
These next nights, inshallah, I want to discuss different topics in regards to the aza of Imam Hussein, the remembrance of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This blessing that we have, that if we're not careful, we might take for granted. So first, I want to talk a little bit about the importance of the youth and this aza and the idea of aza, something that we've all been through ourselves growing up. And so personally, I'll tell you myself, I've slowed down a little bit compared to, I know what I was in the past. I was a matami all the way. And I still will be there, but nothing like the past. So this is very important, very important. I cannot highlight it enough. We see the ulama with the, from old to young, all of them are stressing on this one thing. The one thing that all scholars get along about and don't have a difference of opinion on is how important Muharram and Aza is. Like, it is very, for me, it's very mind-blowing, because I'm aware of all the differences of opinion regarding different issues, theological, fiqhi, legal. But then all of a sudden here, everyone puts their hands up and waves the white flag, like we have no issue here at all. As a matter of fact, we have to make sure that this is something that is solidified within our next generations. Because who are we kidding, brothers and sisters? Like, Imam Hussein has done something that you can't, I'm sorry, like, it is hard. The Quran even has not been able to, like, the way connections are made with Imam Hussein. Our youth, who are we kidding? Even with the Quran, haven't been able to. That is why I feel that so much importance is given to these tears. That's going to connect you to the Quran later as well. It's going to connect you to Allah later. And I'll talk about that a little bit as we go on, inshallah. But for the youth and the importance, for me, this is what it's all about. It's all about muscle memory. When a kid, when a youth, who is tied to Imam Hussein alayhi salam through whatever culture, through whatever matam, through whatever noha, suz, and salam they have. Yes? If this youth is connected to Imam Hussein through shedding tears, which that is the secret ingredient, by the way. If the tears haven't come, there is a chance that, yeah, maybe things might change a little bit. But when the tears have come, and inshallah they always do come, that is when you know the connection has been made. The one sign that we all know that a connection is made when it comes to the ziyarat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, when we go for their ziyarah and we do idhn al-dukhul, is that they say if the tears come, that shows that a connection is made. Not that if tears don't come, I'm not good enough or whatever it is. No, I will keep trying. And even if the tears don't come, I act like I'm crying. Wow, what more could we ask for? Oh Allah, you put all these blessings in crying for Imam Hussein. I can't cry. It's just, I just can't. It's okay, put your head down and act like you're crying. That even counts. At-tabaki, they call it. What more could we ask for? All right, so they don't want us to miss out on whatever is passed out of goodies, and so to speak, when it comes to Muharram, when it comes to Imam Hussein. So a youth who is tied to Imam Hussein, through these tears, inshallah, can't go wrong. Muscle memory means what? It means you bounce back. Even after a long time, brothers and sisters, when I was in Qom, it reached the point where I couldn't speak English anymore. I'll tell you. You might not believe it right now, because you guys are thinking, oh, this guy's always talking. Right? But there was a point that I couldn't speak English anymore. I had been there for 12 years straight, never visited America. Yeah? But muscle memory, look at that. Now you can't even stop me from talking. You know what I'm saying? It's just, that's how it is. That's how youth is. And so this muscle memory that I develop with Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you know what that means? Because parents sometimes they're worried. They'll come to me or others and they'll say, we're worried, our kids this, our kids that. I'm like, look man, I've been there myself. I was one of those problems and troublemakers. But look, if that connection, if we as parents can make these kids, allow them to fall in love with Imam Hussein alayhi salam, this muscle memory, whether you like it or not, you're going to come back, man. I'm not too worried. Yes, youth will make mistakes. They'll do dumb things sometimes. We've been there, done that. But that connection, if it has been made, this muscle memory is there, they will be back. And I have seen this more than enough with some of our youth over the years. Whether it's Toronto, whether it's, I don't know, what other places I've been to and communities that I've been in touch with and kids that I've been in touch with that grew up now. Throughout the years, you see that, okay, this kid's messing up. But eventually, after a few years, they're back. They'll mature, inshallah. The thing is there something they can go back to that was developed when it counted? And inshallah, that's what... Look at this. What is this? Subhanallah. What these children have done. I don't know who's behind this of the parents. Is it the scouts? Is it the DYG? What is it? I don't know. But whoever's behind this, thank you. This is what it's all about. Getting them involved in all these things. The aza of Imam Hussein, that's what it's all about. And so, that's why I tell these parents not to worry, because once that bond is made, I won't have to explain to him or her why they should try to stay away from certain things. Why should their salat be something that they maintain? They might not even maintain it properly. They might not wake up in time for Salat al-Fajr, for example. Right? We'll try our best to help them with that, but I know eventually they're going to wake up for Salat al-Fajr. This person can't be in love with Imam Hussein but not understand the importance of Salat. That's what you love about Imam Hussein. Everything happened on Ashura. The importance of Salat was highlighted. The importance of Ghairat was highlighted. The importance of loyalty. Everything, every merit that you can think of, that is why, and we'll talk about this some other night inshallah, that what the topic of one of those nights is going to be what has made Karbala eternal. And everlasting, it just doesn't die. No matter what you do, no matter how much you try, you just can't extinguish this flame. One of the secrets is this, that you find everything in there. Different types of people are there. The guided, the misguided, the ones who came late, the ones who were there from the beginning. Old, young, old-timers. Habib bin Mudahir, old-timer. Hur, you just got here. Doesn't matter. You got it all there. And so our kids always have something to connect to with Muharram and Ashura. Subhanallah. Salih salawat. Even if they're making mistakes, they'll know that they're making a mistake. That's the important part. They're making mistakes, at least they know they're making mistakes. This comes through the barakat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Now sometimes those who are a little older, like myself, you might have issue, like, oh, you're overdoing things here. Why are you doing so much of it? And I forget personally sometimes what I was doing when I was younger. Yeah, for me, I was spending a lot more time. For as a matter of fact, when I was studying in Qom, I always had these earphones in my ears. And, you know, back then it was these cassettes. These kids don't know what we're talking about. You've all seen that meme, right? It has a cassette and a pencil next to it. It says the kids will never know the relationship between these two. Remember how we wind it up again? They have no idea what those are. All right, so anyway, man, you know, that's when you know you're old, when you know what a cassette player is. And yeah, so playing Mahmud Karimi, Sib Surkhi all the time. And then rewinding, right? Replaying while you're doing your Hawza studies. I still remember one of the teachers was in our room once and he's like, what are you doing? Like, this is not how you're supposed to do it. I'm like, he doesn't know what love is. This is love. And so now here I am. Sometimes I might forget that this is what love is for our younger generation. So I need to support this as much as I can. Because in the future, inshallah, this will translate into more religiosity, more salat, more fasting, more ghairah, more Qur'an, and so on and so forth. Yes, of course, there will be some things that can be tweaked, can get better, we can fix it, make things more efficient. There will be certain things that we feel, okay, there are some red lines we need to watch out for. But all in all, the nur of Imam Hussein overtakes everything.
Swear to Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Utilsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common. The following is a part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with Friday prayer leaders from across the country in the Imam Khomeini Hosseini on July 27, 2022.
If we invite people to practice piety on Friday, but we do something on Saturday that is not in line with piety, it completely invalidates the process. Not only does it invalidate it, it will have the opposite effect. It makes the listener wonder, what are these people talking about? At minimum, what will happen is that people will no longer attend the Friday prayers. That's the least that can happen. They will do, and they might do more than that. Therefore, this is one of the issues. The person inviting others to piety should strive to acquire piety. The person inviting others to piety should strive to acquire piety himself. I refer to the book Al-Mu'jam Al-Mufahras. Unfortunately, I don't have the time to do these things now. In the past, I used to search in it very carefully, but I don't have this time anymore. So I looked briefly and saw that the word ittaqu, the command form of taqwa, piety, has been mentioned around 60 times in the Quran.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Allah Almighty commands us ittaqu around 60 times. Indeed, two of these 60 cases are alarming. One is in Surah Ali Imran, where Allah says, "Be wary, ittaqu, of Allah with the wariness due to Him." The Quran, Surah number 3, verse 102. Practice piety as befits piety. This is a very important task. The second place is in Surah Taghabun, where Allah states, "So be wary of Allah as much as you can." The Quran, Surah 64, verse 16. Do not take the phrase "as much as you can" to mean whatever you can. No, it means you need to use all your abilities and use all the ways you have to practice piety. Very well. So, we know these things and we say these things. May Allah prepare our hearts and may He soften them so we can act on these things. So, be wary of Allah as much as you can. Therefore, this is the first point. We who tell people to practice piety in the Friday prayer sermon should do our utmost to observe piety to the best of our ability. We need to refrain from doing things we're unsure about. He who restrains his soul from following desires. The Quran, Surah 79, verse 40. We need to do these things and similar matters, and there are many such matters. This is a feature that I believe is a part of our duties as Friday prayer leaders.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
This is IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.
please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.